What if you're not broken? What if you're just done pretending? The truth about resilience that nobody tells you, it's not about never falling apart, it's about learning to break consciously. You're reading this at your desk or maybe in bed at 2 a.m. or in your car before you go into that meeting where you'll smile and pretend everything's fine. Your calendar says you're successful, your bank account might even agree, but your body has been screaming for months. The insomnia, the irritability with people you genuinely care about, the fact that you can't remember the last time you sat down for a meal without checking your phone. You keep telling yourself you'll rest after this project or once things settle down. Things never settle down, and somewhere deep inside, you're starting to suspect that the problem isn't your workload or your circumstances or your lack of discipline. The problem is that you've been running on fumes for so long, you've forgotten what it feels like to actually be okay. Here's what nobody tells you. That exhaustion you're feeling, that sense that one more thing might break you completely, that's not weakness. That's your system trying to save you. You wake up already behind. Your mind is racing through the day's demands before your feet hit the floor. You manage the crisis, navigate the difficult conversation, deliver the presentation, handle the unexpected problem, all while maintaining that carefully constructed exterior that says, I've got this. And you do have it until you don't. Until someone double books your calendar and you want to scream, until a minor criticism sends you spiraling for hours, until you find yourself crying over something so small you're embarrassed to even name it. I know this is ridiculous, you think. People are dealing with real problems and I'm falling apart over nothing. But it's not nothing. And it's not ridiculous, that calendar conflict. It's not really about the calendar. It's about your growing sense that everything is spinning out of control. That minor criticism, it landed on the bruise you've been ignoring for months. The one that whispers, you're not good enough, never have been, never will be. The breakdown isn't about the trigger. It's about everything you've been carrying that you finally can't hold anymore. The lie you've been told about being strong. Walk into any bookstore and you'll find entire shelves dedicated to making you unbreakable, unstoppable, anti-fragile. The message is clear. Resilient people don't fall apart. They bounce back faster. They turn every setback into a setup. Here's the truth nobody wants to admit. That's not how it works. The most resilient people aren't the ones who never break. They're the ones who've learned to break consciously. Psychologist George Bonanno found that people who recovered most fully from trauma weren't those with the stiffest upper lips. They were those who could be devastated on Tuesday, functional on Wednesday, grieving again on Thursday, and laughing at something absurd on Friday. But we've been conditioned to see emotional fluctuation as weakness. We praise people who hold it together and worry about those who fall apart. What if falling apart consciously, deliberately, with awareness is actually the most sophisticated form of self-regulation there is? You didn't decide to operate this way. You absorbed it from watching others equate their value with productivity, learning that emotional needs were inconvenient, that asking for help was weakness. And now it's quietly destroying you. One, I'm fine, at a time. Why your body keeps breaking down. Over small things. Last month, a CEO sat across from me trying to explain why she'd completely unraveled over her assistant double booking her calendar again. I don't understand, she said, voice shaking. I've handled million-dollar deals without blinking. Why am I falling apart over a scheduling conflict? Because it's not about the calendar. Your nervous system works like your smartphone battery. When you're at 95%, everything runs. But when you hit 5%, apps crash. Everything slows down. The whole system goes into preservation mode. You've been running on 5% for months. You just didn't realize it because operating in crisis mode started feeling normal. Your nervous system has been trying to get your attention with whispers, tension in your shoulders, shallow breathing, that vague unease. You ignored those. So it started speaking louder. Insomnia, irritability, that knot in your stomach that never leaves. You're still ignoring it. So now it's screaming. The trigger is just the last straw on a back that's been breaking for months. Here's the neuroscience. When you expose yourself to manageable stress, your brain's hippocampus grows new neurons. Your capacity expands. But if the stress is too intense or prolonged, those same stress hormones become neurotoxic. Your brain starts pruning connections rather than building them. The same experience that could make you stronger is actually degrading your capacity. This is why what doesn't kill you makes you stronger is dangerous advice. What doesn't kill you might be slowly wearing you down until the smallest thing feels insurmountable because you're already operating at the edge of your capacity with no margin left. The part you're not admitting to yourself. Here's what nobody wants to talk about. Sometimes what looks like resilience is actually just sophisticated avoidance. You can handle any professional crisis with grace. Client leaves, 3 new prospects by end of week. Team member quits, you restructure without missing a beat. You pride yourself on this. It's your superpower. But ask yourself to sit with your own loneliness, to feel the grief you've been postponing, to acknowledge the terror underneath all that achieving. Suddenly you have 17 urgent tasks that need immediate attention. You're not resilient. You're defended. Real resilience requires facing the parts of yourself you've deemed unacceptable. The fear that if you slow down, you'll discover you're actually empty inside. The suspicion that your worth is entirely tied to your productivity. The terror that if people saw the real you, they'd realize you're not as together as you seem. The capacity to look at your own shadow without flinching is resilience. Everything else is just management. What are you avoiding by staying so busy? What feelings are you outrunning? Your breakdown might be trying to force you to finally look at what you've been running from. 3 questions to ask. When you feel yourself starting to break, when you feel that familiar overwhelm rising, when someone criticizes your work, when you make a mistake, when plans fall through and you feel yourself spiraling, pause, even for 30 seconds. 1, what's happening in my body right now? Not what you're thinking, what you're feeling physically. Chest tight, jaw clenched, stomach dropped. Your body is usually several steps ahead of your conscious awareness. Learning to catch those signals earlier gives you a choice point, a moment where you can decide, do I escalate this or do I create space for something different? 2, what story is my mind creating about what this means? Something goes wrong, and within seconds, you've constructed an entire narrative. Well, I'm going to fail. They think I'm incompetent. I always mess this up. But that's just a story. What else could be true? What if this is feedback, not verdict? 3, what do I actually need in this moment? Not what you should need. What would genuinely help you come back to center? 3 deep breaths, a 5-minute walk, permission to feel terrible without trying to fix it. The practice isn't about eliminating stress. It's about learning to be with it differently. That tiny pause between trigger and reaction, that's where resilience lives. What if you could fall apart on purpose? Let me tell you about a practice that sounds ridiculous until you try conscious falling apart. Instead of white knuckling through difficult emotions or collapsing unconsciously, you create a container for deliberately letting yourself break. Here's how. When you feel yourself heading toward overwhelm, schedule time to fall apart. Put it in your calendar. Thursday, 4 p.m., falling apart time. Then during that time, you let yourself feel everything you've been muscling through. Cry if you need to. Rage into a pillow. Write pages of uncensored truth no one will read. Let your body shake or move however it needs to. You might be thinking, if I let myself start falling apart, I'm afraid I won't be able to stop. But here's what actually happens. The more you try to outrun your breaking points, the more power they have over you. The more you practice consciously meeting them, The more you realize you can handle them, you don't dissolve, you feel the full weight of whatever's happening. And then sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, you find your footing again. And the next time something falls apart, some part of you remembers, I've done this before. I know how to be with this. That's resilience, not avoiding the breakdown, the evidence that you can break and come back together again and again. What if 20 minutes of conscious falling apart prevented 3 weeks of low-level anxiety? What if the breakdown you're so afraid of is actually the breakthrough you've been needing? The long game. Here's the truth. There is no shortcut to building resilience. It's built incrementally through accumulated evidence that you can handle hard things, that you can fall apart and come back together, that you can sit with uncertainty without needing to immediately resolve it. It's built in quiet moments nobody sees. When you choose to feel the grief instead of numbing it with work, when you admit you're struggling instead of performing competence, when you set a boundary even though it disappoints someone, learning to operate differently means saying no to opportunities that feed your ego but deplete your energy. Disappointing people who expect constant availability. Sitting with the discomfort of not being the person who handles everything. Some days that looks like strategic planning. Other days it looks like canceling everything and taking a walk because your nervous system needs space more than your calendar needs filling. Both were resilience. Because resilience isn't a destination. It's a practice you return to for the rest of your life. You don't reach a point where hard things stop being hard. You just get better at recognizing when you're heading toward your edge and making different choices before you go over it. Who you'll become when you stop pretending you're fine. When you stop performing resilience and start actually building it, everything shifts. You stop needing every situation to work out perfectly because you trust your capacity to handle imperfection. You take bigger creative risks because failure becomes feedback, not identity. You show up more authentically because you're not terrified that if someone really sees you, they'll discover you're not as together as you pretend. You become a different kind of leader. Not the kind who never falters, but the kind who can say, this is hard and I don't have all the answers and we're going to figure it out together. And maybe most importantly, you get your life back. The energy you were spending holding it all together becomes available for actually living. One of my clients put it perfectly. I finally realized I don't need to know the right answer. I just need to make a decision, stay present to what happens and trust that I can handle whatever comes next. Even if it's hard, even if I choose wrong, I'll figure it out. That's what resilience gives you, not certainty, not fearlessness, but the capacity to keep choosing yourself, your growth, your evolution, even when everything is uncertain. Because life will keep bringing you to your edge. Every edge is an invitation to expand. Every breakdown is information about where you've outgrown your current operating system. Every moment of, I can't handle this, is your old self making room for who you're becoming. The question isn't whether you'll face adversity. The question is, who will you become because of it? Will you armor up and push through, building walls so high nothing can touch you, but nothing can reach you either? Or will you learn to be permeable? To let life shape you, crack you open in all the ways that matter. The second path requires more courage. It takes more strength to admit you're struggling than to pretend you're fine. But it's the only path that leads to actually being alive instead of just surviving. Maybe that's the real definition of resilience, the willingness to keep showing up for your own life, fully and messily and imperfectly, no matter how many times you fall apart. Because you will fall apart again and again, and each time you'll have a choice to make it mean you're broken or to recognize it as your system recalibrating for the next level of growth. So here's what I want you to know. That thing you're going through right now, the one that feels too heavy, too much, too hard, what if it's not breaking you? What if it's breaking you open? What if your body's rebellion isn't a failure of your resilience, but evidence that you've been resilient for too long in ways that weren't sustainable. What if the breakdown you're so afraid of is actually the beginning of something truer? You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to be willing to stop pretending you do. That's where real resilience begins.